This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today's guest is Professor Ellen Elliott, who is the coordinator of the broadcast television program. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you, Kurt. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. We've been working together for some time, so I know quite a bit about your very interesting background. But for our audience, you were an audio engineer for 20 years and then came to Canada in 2003.
Yeah, that's right. I initially came from Scotland. I worked as an audio engineer over there. And one of the things I ended up doing was working on cruise ships, doing front of house sound for their live shows, so twice nightly shows, production shows. And that's where I met my wife, Georgina, and she was from Canada. So when we came to the end of our career on the ships, we were kind of looking to where to go next. And we thought, is it Canada? Is it Scotland? And you know, I had a relative that had lived in Canada years ago, and I'd always remembered him coming back and telling us about it. So I thought, I'll try Canada, you know. And here we are, many years later, and very happy.
And when you came to Canada, did you continue your audio engineering career? I know you were doing live shows, you were doing television, live radio.
Yeah, absolutely. So initially, when I come as a new entrant to the country, as an immigrant, you know, it's you've got to start a little bit from the bottom. You don't know people, you have to make contacts. So the first thing I did was I pulled out the yellow pages, right? And I called a few recording studios and I managed to get, I think it was a third or fourth one. The person said, yeah, I'd love to have you come round and show me what you can do. I ended up working at this recording studio in Toronto. After that, I ended up working for a small stint at one called Metalworks in Mississauga. And then at that point, I got offered a job at Rogers. So I ended up working at Rogers for 10 years. I worked as an audio engineer there. They had a theatre called the Velma Rogers Graham Theatre, and it was like a private kind of theatre that they would use for, you know, not just concerts, TV shows, but corporate events, that kind of thing as well. So it was a wide variety of work we did there. The stuff that I enjoyed the most was the live concerts. We did a lot of those with some really quite great artists, so that was always fun.
I understand Ed Sheeran was one of those artists.
Yeah, he was. So the concerts we did were for radio station winners. They'd win a contest and they could come and do like a sort of intimate, you know, meet and greet kind of sort of environment. And he was one of those artists. And that night he was playing at the Rogers Centre to 50,000 people. And in our venue, he was playing to 250 very loud screaming fans. And he was a great artist to work with. Very simple. He walked into the control room. He said, "Hi, I'm Ed," you know, and we're like, "Yeah, we know who you are." And he handed me his guitar and he said, "Can you just plug my guitar in and give me a mic?" And that was all he wanted, you know. So it was really simple. Just a friendly, down-to-earth person. And you know, sometimes, you know, you might work with people that have greater demands, and he was one of the sort of most easy person to work with for a while I'd seen, for sure.
Can you share some of the people who might not have been so easy to work with, or is that, are you sworn to secrecy on those?
Well, professionally, I'd like to say no to that question. You never know, right?
Absolutely. It's a small world.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Alan, what brought you to Seneca?
Well, I was working at Rogers, and I'd also managed to have a part-time job working at Ryerson University, which is now Toronto Metropolitan U. I ended up teaching there in their sound design for visual media course. And I got the opportunity from a colleague who worked at Rogers, and he was taking a break from Ryerson to work on his musical career. And he said, "Would you like to step in and teach?" And I said, "Absolutely." So teaching, it was the first time doing it, and absolutely loved it. And you know, when I was working, you know, at Rogers and teaching as well, trying to balance those out, and I really thought, this is something I want to do full time. So I started looking for opportunities as a full time teacher. And you know, within a short period of time, actually, the job at Seneca came up, and I was delighted to apply for that, and happy to say that I got the job, and it's been great, to be honest.
So you said you knew right away almost that you wanted to do this full time. What was it about teaching that made you think that?
Well, I think when I started out myself as working in audio, having people that can mentor you and to tell you, you know, help you out as you're sort of beginning your journey in learning, that was something that, you know, I'd really sought after when I was starting out. And you don't always find that, you know, you don't always have that person to kind of guide you along. And I sort of, I guess in a way I saw it in the students a little bit of myself, and seeing how much they responded to the information that was there for them and having the opportunity to learn. And you just feel like you're kind of giving back to some degree, but also you get a lot out of it by, you know, feeling like you're helping them out a little bit as they start their careers.
And what about Seneca attracted you to Seneca?
Well, I mean, Seneca College has obviously got a great reputation, you know, and the facilities we have here are fantastic. And I knew that, you know, the place to work would be Seneca at York. Fantastic opportunities, not only working in the TV program, but there's also the opportunity to work in the events and media production program, even the radio program, if there's audio opportunities there too. So it offered a wide variety of possibilities here. And subsequently, I would say one of the things that I found really great about working here is that the opportunity to invest in employees' education, so that there's a great opportunities there to, you know, get funding for your education. And I think I feel really supported in that sense, you know, from not only from an employment sense working here, but how to expand your education and your possibilities, you know, while you're working in this role.
So that's a great segue to your master's, which you just completed. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Really interesting project at the center of your studies. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've been working on is binaural spatialization to help firefighters in an emergency situation. So in a nutshell, as you may imagine, firefighting is a dangerous occupation, and obviously the fire itself is a big danger. But disorientation is a real problem too, where firefighters are entering unknown buildings, finding themselves in a room that's full of smoke. They lose sense of where they are in space, so it can be a situation where it causes them to panic. They can, you know, have real difficulty trying to find their way out. So this was just happened to be a conversation I'd had with some firefighters on another project that was in my master's, and hearing the experience they go through really sort of sparked my imagination to think, what could we do with sound that could help them out here? So I came up with this idea of using spatialized audio, which could direct a firefighter from their current location out to safety by placing spatial cues that would give them direction and distance to help them aim for the direction that they're trying to escape from. There's obviously other challenges, like if you're in a black room, darkened room, that's all, you know, full of smoke, there might be physical objects as well. So there's things that, you know, you have to encounter that, you know, may cause the firefighter difficulty getting out, not just the direction of the door, but what could be in their way. So there's a lot more work to do there. I'm continuing on with the project, and this week, actually, I've been writing the research paper that I'm going to submit to the conference, and that's going to get submitted on Monday. And I'll be presenting in the conference in Edinburgh on September, late August or September.
And not only are you presenting, but you also won a prestigious award related to your studies.
Yeah, yeah. I managed to, I was happy to be awarded the University Medal.
Which university? I don't think we mentioned.
It's Edinburgh Napier University in Scotland. And I was awarded the University Medal there for my work on the dissertation, which was really great to, you know, very humbling experience, to be honest, because I didn't expect that. I think working on a dissertation, it's something I'd never done before. So as much as you feel like you know the subject, there's also a sense of, you know, is this working? Is this right? Am I doing the right thing here? You know, so, you know, once I submitted it, and we do something called a viva voce, which is just like a discussion with our supervisors asking me about the paper and defending it orally. And so they were very pleased with the result, and I was just delighted, really, with the response. It was really nice.
Well, congratulations. That's great to hear.
And thank you.
Great to hear that it was a Senecan that won that award.
Yeah.
Another really interesting project that you've led here at Seneca is using augmented reality, trying to bring that into the classroom. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if I go back a few years when I was first starting my own education, I'd gone to a university on a tour, and they'd shown a part of the tour. There was a display that said, press here to see a hologram. So I was like, okay, so I press this button, expecting a hologram to appear in front of me, but the actual button was the hologram, you know, and I was like, this is amazing. So it always stuck in my mind as something that's using technology to kind of intrigue you about the environment that you're in, but also showing that the organization is forward thinking as well. And so with augmented reality, one of the things I've been working on is using AR to augment pieces of audio equipment, so they can show for a user, either using a smartphone or through potentially augmented reality glasses, they can actually see contextual information pop up in front of them, where they can watch a video to learn a little bit about a certain section of the console or the piece of audio equipment. They can take a test to demonstrate their knowledge. So it's a way to just expand on what's available in the classroom, knowing that augmented reality is, it's there, it's happening, it's going to explode in the next few years. And I was really excited to sort of experiment with what could we do using AR at Seneca to try and expand what's available in terms of education in the classroom.
Really interesting. So what is the timeline for that potentially to be used by the students?
Yeah, so the currently we're on phase two, which is I just have to do some testing on that. The first thing we did was a Yamaha soundboard, an augmented reality experience for that. The second part is using an audio recorder and similar experience. And the students will be able to use it starting in the fall.
Mm, yeah. Really, really interesting. And another great project you brought forward as well, the new Dolby Atmos studio. Describe that and describe the importance of that in terms of student education here at Seneca in this realm.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dolby Atmos, some people might not be familiar with it, but they might be familiar with surround sound. So surround sound, commonly you come across 5.1 surround sound, where you have five speakers and an LFE. Consider it to be like almost like a subwoofer, as a larger speaker that's used to play effects. So you've got five main speakers and then your low frequency effects channel. And so Dolby Atmos expands on that by, rather than considering individual channels, which would be as part of a 5.1 mix, you have objects that can be placed anywhere in space. And by using Dolby Atmos, you can position a sound wherever you want it to be in space. Whatever the user has when they're experiencing the content, the Dolby Atmos system will conform itself to playback in their environment. So it can automatically adjust for headphones, or it can automatically adjust for a 5.1 system in a home theater. It'll basically adjust itself to whatever environment you play it in. And the thing with Atmos is it's really expanding a lot of opportunities, not only in film and television, but it goes into music and gaming and other applications as well. You'll see a lot of albums being re-released on Dolby Atmos with spatial audio, as Apple tends to call it. If you use Apple devices, they'll call it spatial audio. And so it expands a lot of opportunities. And it's a forward-thinking technology. If the students are using it in the audio classes, it will give them an advantage when they go into their careers, having used that. And that's one of the benefits for sure.
Alan, anything else you want to add?
No, I'd just say it's been a pleasure to chat with you and really appreciate the opportunity. I think I've said all I want to say, I think.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I guess you'll give me the dirt on all those other artists off
air. As soon as the camera and the audio recorder are off, we'll dish the dirt, yeah.
Sounds good. Pleasure, Professor Alan Elliott, coordinator of the broadcast television program at Seneca.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design. Produced by Seneca's radio broadcasting students.